You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our guest looks at some of the hidden costs of stolen cars in the Milwaukee area. First, this month's Marquette Law School poll came out today. The poll looked at Wisconsinites' opinions of the presidential candidates, Governor Walker, the Senate race, and more. Joining me now is Charles Franklin. He's director of the Marquette Law School poll and professor of law and public policy at Marquette University. Charles, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Well, compare and contrast the last two polls. Big lead, audible gasps in the room when you gave the info about the results, Hillary Clinton's big lead last time. That has narrowed. How much has changed?
It's narrowed considerably. 3 weeks ago in registered voters, Clinton had a 10-point lead. That has shrunk to 5 points this time. And among likely voters, it was even more. A 15-point lead 3 weeks ago has shrunk to just 3 points among likely voters now. What we're seeing here is the very substantial convention bounce that boosted her support from July to early August is now essentially completely gone, and her standing today looks actually just 1 point weaker, 1 point closer race than what we saw in July.
So maybe that July 1 and today's are kind of the normal, the baseline of this election, and last time's wasn't inaccurate. It just reflected, as you say, the post-convention state of affairs.
I'm not sure we're allowed to use the term normal with this year's election, but I think that clearly 3 weeks ago we were coming off of a strong Democratic convention. Something most Republicans thought was a very strong convention for Hillary Clinton. And we were also coming off what was almost certainly the worst week of Trump's campaign so far. So I don't think it's any surprise that early August was a high water mark for Clinton and perhaps a low water mark for Trump. Though the striking thing is Trump's numbers have not changed very much over these last 3 weeks. Instead, Hillary Clinton's numbers have gotten a bit worse for her across almost every aspect that we measure. Not dramatically worse, but a bit worse, and consistently so across evaluation of her.
Well, speaking of not normal, one of the abnormal things we seem to be seeing, and you talked about this in the survey release, a pretty good number of undecided voters, people who look like at this stage, they're not going to vote for Clinton or Trump. How many of them are there out there, and how abnormal is it?
I think that's an incredibly interesting result here, and one we've seen now for several samples. In this current poll, when we just asked the head-to-head between Clinton and Trump, 19% say they won't vote, they wouldn't vote for either, or they don't know how they'd vote. 4 years ago in 2012, that was just 6% at this same time. So that's an unusually high number. When we offer the four-way presidential vote, 11% go for Gary Johnson, 7% go for Jill Stein. That's 18. And there's still nearly 10% in addition to that who say they don't know how they're going to vote. So it's clear that a lot of voters, far more than usual, are having a hard time choosing between the two major party candidates. And they're looking at Johnson and Stein, they're looking at not voting, and they're putting off making up a decision. Presumably, they will all make a decision by Election Day whether to vote for vote at all or who to vote for. But right now, that leaves or creates more uncertainty in the electorate than we normally see.
And does that go along with the historically high negative ratings we're seeing for both Clinton and even a little more so Donald Trump?
It certainly does. Both of them have more unfavorable than favorable views. And in the history of this question, which goes back to the Carter campaign in the 70s, we've never seen two presidential nominees consistently net negative in favorability. And this year we're seeing both of them net negative. Now, it's fair to point out that part of that's because while they're viewed quite positively within their parties, they're viewed extraordinarily negatively in the other party. So that does drag down the overall negative evaluations. But even so, around 30% of our samples see both of them unfavorably. So that's a pretty substantial base of dissatisfaction with the choice.
We're talking to super pollster Charles Franklin about the new Marquette Law School survey just out, the poll just out today. A big lead for Hillary Clinton has gotten much less big since the last poll. Let's look at some of the other results in the survey. The race for the U.S. Senate, Russ Feingold, Ron Johnson, Democrats. Russ Feingold's lead also went down, it looks like.
Yes, it did. Now 4% among registered voters and 3% among likely voters. Just as with the Clinton drop-off in likelies, there's also a big drop here. Feingold was up by 11 among likelies early in the month and now down to 3. But if you look at the more stable sample of registered voters, which represents just what it says, everyone who's registered to vote in the state, Feingold has been slowly slipping, 7% in July, 6% in August, now 4% in late August. So I think that suggests that there is a tightening of this race, and the larger variation among likely voters is more due to motivation to vote and perhaps partisan motivation rather than changing preferences. But on the registered voter side, clearly a tightening into low to middle single digits, what was earlier a high single-digit lead for Feingold.
And do we Wisconsinites think we know these candidates at this point? I know in these U.S. Senate races as opposed to a presidential race, there tend to be a lot of people who say they don't know much about a candidate.
And that remains the case. When we look at do you have a favorable or unfavorable view of Feingold and Johnson, 32% say they don't have an opinion at all about Ron Johnson. 25% don't have an opinion about Feingold, which is actually a bump up from 20% 3 weeks ago. So that's a pretty high number, between a quarter and a third of voters who say they don't yet have an impression about these two Senate candidates. As the race heats up, presumably people will learn more, but it is beginning to be a little late for so much lack of opinion, especially for one current and one former senator who've certainly been around.
One politician not running for re-election, but you checked in on him anyway, Governor Scott Walker. You always check his approval ratings. A little good news for him there.
Yes, he was bumped up to 43% approval. He was at 38 3 weeks ago, and that 43 represents his high water mark since March, when he was also at 43. But maybe more impressively, his disapproval number dropped to 49% this month. That's the first time that disapproval has been under 50% since just before he was reelected in October 2014. We did see in March a blip up for him that was then followed by three polls in a row that had him back down. So I think we'll withhold judgment about whether this is a permanent shift for now, but it certainly represents an improvement in his standing.
Charles, a weird thing in the reaction to the survey today. I was watching a lot of the Twitter response. Usually, this is good news for Republicans, trend-wise, in all the three things we've been talking about, President, Senate, Governor Walker's approval. Usually when you see something like that, the other party, the Democrats, would say, oh, a bad sample, whatever. Today, I saw a couple conservatives, usually Republican supporters, Brian Fraley, Christian Schneider, both here in Wisconsin, saying, this looks good, but we think the sample may be leaning toward Republicans. The people who this should be good news for are questioning this a little bit. What do you make of that?
Well, that's an interesting thing. The sample in terms of core partisans, people who say I'm a Democrat and a Republican, is almost exactly what our long-term average is. It's like 1 point less Democratic than usual, and it's right on the long-term Republican average. What is different, though, is people who say they're independent, but then say they lean to one party. And there, in this sample, we do have more leaning to the Republican Party than leaning to the Democratic Party. Normally, those two are about equal. So I think it is possible that we picked up a few extra Republicans. But the key question is, are they there because of a fluke of the sample, in which case it'll go away next time? Or is it because Republicans were a little bit more motivated right now? 3 weeks ago, Democrats may have been a little more motivated.
And before we let you go, Charles, in addition to the political horse races here, you got into some issues. I want to just pick one of them. Immigration, big news today. Donald Trump meeting with the Mexican president today, big speech on immigration tonight. Where are Wisconsinites on issues like undocumented immigration?
Yeah, we gave three choices, an eventual path to citizenship, stay as guest workers, or be required to leave the country. 62% favor a path to citizenship, 19% guest worker status, and 15% leave the country. That number has been shifting a little bit over the last 4 years. It was 52% preferring citizenship back in 2012, and 21% favoring leave the country. So there's been some shift there that's about a 10-point shift in citizenship. Interestingly, among Republicans, 43% favor citizenship, 26% guest worker, and only 28% deportation or being required to leave the country. This is an example that people's issue preferences here don't align completely with the presidential positions of Donald Trump in particular.
Charles, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Charles Franklin. He's professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Law School poll. He told us where Wisconsinites stand today on the elections and other policy issues in their most recent poll.